So, true story, Christmas 2001, my son Hudson was recruited to play the baby Jesus in the Christmas program, and I was sitting on the front pew, and everything's great. I mean, it was just fine, and then this teenage girl comes out playing Mary, and she's holding my son, and it just hit me, right? That's what God did. That he put his son in the arms of a teenage girl, knowing full well that his son would eventually end up on a cross. And I wept. I couldn't even talk. And I realized that if it were up to me, mankind would be out of luck. Because I won't ever love anyone enough to give up my only son. But thank God he did.
Let's pray. God, thank you that you gave up your son for us, that we get to celebrate your birth every single year and remember what you have done on our behalf. I pray that as we, the next number of minutes, God, and we talk about your word and we talk about your son, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Pope Julius I declared, he authorized December 25th to be celebrated as the birthday of Jesus in 353 AD. Imagine he had no clue that it would turn out to what it is today. And when Professor Charles Fallon lit candles on the first Christmas tree in 1832, who would ever thought that the decorations would become as elaborate as they are today? Now, it's been a long time since 1832. Longer still from 353 AD, and even longer still from that dark night that was brightened by a star in which the King of Kings was born. And yet as we approach December 25th again, it gives us yet another opportunity to pause. And in the midst of all the excitement and all the elaborate decorations and even the commercialism that has surrounded Christmas today, it gives us a chance to consider again the events of Christmas and the person whose birthday we get to celebrate. Now, over the years, if you're like me, the Christmas story has been told and has been heard so often that I think we forget that it was real, that it involved real people and real emotions, that we're celebrating the moment that God Almighty stepped out of heaven and became a human in order to save us. All part of his redemptive plan. And so I love it whenever I hear different perspectives and more human perspectives. And it reminds me what this would have been like for those that were involved in the Christmas story. And Mary, just a young girl, a teenager. And her response in Luke chapter 1, when she was told that she had been chosen by God to carry Jesus. And her response is, "May it be to me as you have said." This life-changing, life-altering decision. Your life would never be the same again. And she says, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Let's get this started." And then Joseph. I love that video where Tommy was struck by the realization of what God did. When he probably nervously watched this teenage girl holding his brand new baby boy. And I like that because it strikes a chord with me. I remember being in the hospital delivering our first little baby, little girl, Danae. When I say our delivering, I use that term loosely. But I was there. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. We are responsible for this little child. For her growing up and developing her and teaching her character and discipling her to know and love Jesus. I thought, this is crazy. But I also remember when we left the hospital And you have this tiny little baby. They can't hold their head up. There's soft spots on their head. So you got to be careful. It's like they're not done yet in some ways, right? And you got to put them in this giant clunky car seat that you've never used before, that's got straps coming out of everywhere. You're hoping you did it right. And then you click it in a car and you're trusting. And I remember driving home from the hospital being so careful going around every single corner, right? Precious cargo was in our car. Things had changed, especially in the way that I drove. RCMP are thankful. I remember I was a youth pastor at the time, and I remember handing her over to my students, these teenagers who wanted to hold my little girl. And I remember just hovering and just making sure that they were careful, that they were holding her correctly, that they weren't going to drop her. And like that video, I can't imagine going through all of that with the end goal of her giving her life to redeem mankind. I mean, we all have goals, we all have hopes, we have dreams for ourselves, but we have hopes and dreams and goals for our kids. And even if you don't have kids yet, you've thought about, you know what, when I have a kid, I'm going to do this. Or if you're like my wife, she's like, when I have kids, I'm going to dress them like this, right? Their own little live Barbies. You know, we all have these hopes and these dreams. And if you don't have kids yet, you still know, you know what, my kid is not going to be that kid throwing a fit in Walmart, right? Yeah, good luck with that. I said those words too. I've been told God did not give us kids to make us look good, just to keep us humble. But we have hopes and dreams, and some of us, I could say many, live vicariously through our kids. My kid will play in the NHL, whether he likes hockey or not, right? Jesus also came with purpose and with goals. But his wasn't to make it big in sports. And it wasn't to be a musician or to retire at 45. No, he came to redeem people who had no idea they needed redeeming. He came to restore our relationship with a holy God. And I got to say, just to be honest, if I went through all that, if I was God and my son went to the cross and he went through all of that for mankind, I would want to force everybody to accept him, to make his sacrifice worth it. Does that make sense? Like, my son did all of that. He went through all of that. He went and hung on the cross and he died for mankind, for all of you. And you don't want to have anything to do with him? Like lightning bolts, right? That's my human reaction. But God's perfect love, his immense love, allows us to choose. To choose to live outside of what he knows is best for us. What's going to give us the most life, the most joy, the most fulfillment. And he allows us to choose outside of that and to do it on our own. Or to choose Jesus. That's amazing. To love humanity so much that you give up your one and only son, that whoever would believe in him will have eternal life. And yet to love humanity enough to allow them to have a choice. And you know, I love that Christmas is that constant reminder about that choice. That every single year, no matter what happens after this night, and we go on and we start spinning our wheels, doing it on our own again, we have next Christmas come back and we remember, no, Jesus came to us. God became one of us in order to save us. Church, what that communicates is that we don't have to get our act together before we come to the Father. That while we were still all messed up, living selfishly and pridefully, that God came to us. We don't have to become perfect before he'll ever accept us. He accepts us. The person that updates our church Facebook page posted a meme that is so true and so perfect for tonight. Each one of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. I love that. Each one of us is an innkeeper that decides if there's room for Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. Is there room? You know, I remember as a kid counting down till Christmas. Any kids here excited about Christmas? No? Absolutely. We used to ask my mom, how many sleeps till Christmas? You ever do that? How many sleeps? We've been doing that in our house, actually. It's like something miraculous happens when you sleep. You close your eyes and everything jumps forward towards what you're excited about, what you're looking forward to. My mom used to say, you know, go to sleep. The quicker you fall asleep, the quicker Christmas is here. Right? Not completely true, but it sure seemed like it. You close your eyes and Christmas happens. It's just like that. And a lot happens on Christmas nights when kids are sleeping, doesn't it? The famous Christmas story, 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a... Yeah. All this magic happens while we're sleeping. But even today, and every day, we can wake up in the morning, we check the news, and we look about what happened last night while I was sleeping. What happened in our world, what happened in our community while we were sleeping. I don't know if you've ever slept through a giant storm. You go to bed and there's a torrential rain, there's huge winds, and you don't know what's taking place. There's nothing you can do about it. So you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning to what? Assess the damage. Did we make it through? Where did the trees land last night? Or now, getting close to Christmas, every time we hear that there might be snow at night, we wake up in the morning, we look out the window to see, did it snow? How much did it snow? I love looking out and there's a fresh 1 foot, 2 feet on top of all the patio furniture, on top of the deck, right? All the snowmobilers are just like, yeah, go start the sled, make sure it's still ready. So often we go to sleep and we wake up to see what we missed during the night. A number of years ago, there was a band called Casting Crowns that wrote a song about Christmas called While You Were Sleeping. And in this song, they talk about the town of Bethlehem. And they talk about how, other than for the small group of people that were involved in the story, the innkeeper and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels, except for the small few people, the rest of the town had no clue what went on that night. They went to bed like any other night, no clue that the Savior had been born among them. The song says this. It says, O little town of Bethlehem, it looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne, and he's sleeping in a manger tonight. O Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. O Bethlehem, you'll go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. The second verse of the song flashes forward to Jerusalem 33 years later, to when Jesus is crucified, when the promised Messiah is hung on a cross. This one that was going to be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, fulfilled all these prophecies. And it says, O little town of Jerusalem, it looks like another silent night. The Father gave his only Son the way, the truth, the life had come. But there was no room for him in the world that he came to save. Jerusalem, what have you missed while you were sleeping? The Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. And then the last verse, they fast forward to and they bring it home. Now, they're from the States, and so they talk about America, but they translate pretty accurately. And I'm not going to read the first verse, but he ends with, Canada, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? Canada, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? And that's the question. We can't answer for our nation, but we could answer for ourselves. Friends, if you're here tonight, and you know that you've been trying to live this life on your own strength and without Jesus, but you also know it's not working out so well. That you're just spinning your wheels, making a mess of relationships, making a mess of your choices. Things are falling apart. chasing after empty, fleeting, ever moving goals. And I don't know if you've ever been here where you've actually reached your goal that you've been attaining. And yet there's so many people that are depressed in life because they've reached their goals and realized that they're not the fulfillment that they thought they would be. That there's not the hope that they thought and the joy and the happiness that they thought. Christmas reminds us it's not too late. God came to us. He came to me. He came to you. Question is, will we miss it? You know, December 1903, this is a true story. After many, many, many attempts, the Wright brothers, after trying to get their flying machine in the air, the first airplane, finally got it off the ground. Can you imagine the excitement and the joy they would have had after finally flying? They believed that they could fly. How many people all around them would have thought they were foolish? How are you going to, man can't fly. So they telegraphed. This is back in the day of telegraph. There was no email. There was no, you know, FaceTime. They didn't put it on YouTube. All right. They telegraphed their sister and they said, we've actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine, their sister, grabbed this telegram, ran down to the editor of the local paper. So excited. Shows it to the editor. He reads it and says, oh, nice. The boys are going to be home for Christmas. Totally missed. Man had flown. Friends, it's my prayer that none of us tonight miss the big news. God became man. We miss that so often. And he lived the perfect, sinless life in order to take the punishment that I deserve for my selfishness and my pride. He took the punishment for you in order that we could have a right relationship with God Almighty. Friends, let's let Christmas 2018 be the year that hope was born in our hearts. Does that mean that we're not going to have troubles or hardships? If that's what we hear tonight, then we didn't hear right. This world is hard. Life is hard. But all of a sudden, our eyes, our purpose is different when Jesus is on the throne of my life. With the economy the way it is, and everything around us, and our world is telling us how hopeless this is, and we better fight, we need a pipeline, we need all these things. All of a sudden, our purpose is greater than all these things. And we have hope. And we have peace that we're not alone when we make room for Jesus. Scripture promises us that the Spirit of the living God takes up residence in our hearts and in our lives when we make room for Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And we're going to do a song of response. How do you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to what Jesus has done? Well, in this song, it's called Offering. And it talks about offering ourselves back to God, because to be honest, God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our stuff. He doesn't need our good works. Scripture tells us that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not by works. It is a gift of God. In Christmas, we know that there's gifts underneath the tree, and my name could be on 10 of them. But if I never went and took that gift and opened the gift, it's not for me. The grace of God is a gift for each and every one of us. And so we're going to sing a song of response saying, God, I give you myself. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. And maybe you're here tonight. And my prayer is that you're here tonight and you understood for the very first time maybe the depths of Jesus' love for you. The depths of what Jesus has done. And there's some people that have grown up in churches and they've grown up, they know the gospel, they know who Jesus is, and they know what Jesus has done, and they've concluded, but I don't need that. Well, my prayer tonight is that maybe if that's you, you've said, I get it. I get why we need that. If we didn't need it, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's crying out to the Father saying, Father, if there is any other way, there's no way God would have had Jesus go through that if we didn't need it. But he did to redeem us and to restore us. And if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life tonight, I just ask that you would pray and agree with me in prayer. Can I ask everybody to pray? Everybody close your eyes and pray. Jesus, we thank you for coming. In Philippians 2, it says you didn't consider your equality with God something to hold on to, but you made yourself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in my likeness, and becoming obedient to death. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, for going through it all, just so that I could have a restored relationship with you, that I could spend eternity with you, that I could have life and purpose and hope here on earth. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me. Forgive me for my selfishness and my pride. When I put my priorities and my desires ahead of everything else, family and you. And Jesus, I ask that you would, you promise in your word that you're faithful and you're just and you will forgive us our sins. So God, we claim that. We thank you for your forgiveness, that you have made a way for us to be right before God. And God, we ask that you would come and take up residence in our hearts and in our lives, and that you would make me clean and whole and give me life abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.